This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this first message in a two-part series entitled Abandoned, Pastor Scott explains that while God may sometimes feel as though he's nowhere to be found, he will never abandon us. As well, Pastor Scott also explains some steps that we can take to help us so that we don't have a feeling of abandonment. This message was delivered on February 25th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Yeah, but I'd like to welcome you all. Good morning, New Hope. I hope you guys got your cup of coffee and you're ready to hear. And, you know, if anything that comes out of my mouth that you say like, wow, understand, that's from God, okay? That is from God. Sometimes people tell me I said this or I said that. I say, really? No, that didn't sound like me because it must have been God. And I always ask God, you know, God, speak through me, use me. Every Saturday morning, Sunday morning, you know, early Sunday morning when I'm tossing and turning and anticipating being up here, I'm always asking God, speak through me, use me, Holy Spirit, I need you because, man, without the Holy Spirit, I'd be dust. Seriously, but I thank all of you for being here. Today we're talking about abandoned, and I don't know if you ever felt that way. I know at one time in my life, when I was in my teenage years, and my youth leader got killed by a drunk driver, I was devastated and. You know, I felt abandoned. I was mad. I did not step into a church for I don't know how many years. And it actually took 20 years to make me realize that I actually needed God. And in that 20 years, boy, did I really feel far, far away from God. It was not a good 20 years in my life. Let me tell you that there's scars. And I also probably left scars on people. But, you know, talking about the subject of abandon, you know, I was reading this article about a newborn was in critical condition after, okay, catch this, after his teenage father abandoned him in a California strip mall parking lot. I mean, he drove into this parking lot. He took out the baby and the car seat. He put it on the ground, and he drove away. And I thought, like, that's crazy. This baby was 16 days old. And I think, who in their right mind would do such a thing? Bring them to me, I'll take them. In fact, sometimes I gotta borrow your children because mine are all grown up. I borrow yours for the afternoon and we go to the mall, we go to this, that, and I have a blast. Children are a gift from God. They are a reward. Another one was like this lady went shopping. And this, you see this happen where the child gets separated from the mom. And some of you do that on purpose and just kind of peek around the aisle. Ah, let them worry, Cindy. Teach them a lesson never to walk away from me. But when someone brought this child back to the lady said, that's okay, let them go. And the lady actually checked out, put the groceries in the car, and dug out. Wow, I mean, that's awful. And I think about these stories about abandonment, and it shocked me that people have children and they would do such a thing. And you know, I know none of us do that here, but can you imagine parents just abandoning their children? And it was like I read they're kind of like appalling that people would do that. I would say, just give them to me if you don't want them. Let me check with my wife first. And being that she's not here, you know, if you want to give me your children, let me ask her. And I know she's going to say yes. Because you know what? I'm going to take them and she's going to have to care for them. That's always the case, right? You get a dog, she takes care of him. You get some fish, she got to feed him. Yeah. Now, if you're reading the Bible along with us in the bookmark and you're following along, you know, we went to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus right now. But in Exodus, you know, we read the story of Moses. Remember Moses, right? Moses was a Hebrew, but he was raised as Pharaoh's son in the palace. And one day, Moses actually realized who he was, where his roots were from. He found out his true identity, and he desired to return to his own people so that he could help them from the oppression of the Egyptians. And in Exodus 2:15, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, because Moses was walking through all the slaves, and he seen one of Pharaoh's soldiers beating up one of the Hebrew guys, so he kind of like, nobody's watching, boom, and he killed the guy. And then Pharaoh found out. And in Exodus 2:15, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. So Moses killed someone, and we know from the Bible, thou shalt not kill. But to escape the punishment from Pharaoh, he ran away to a far, far land called Midian. He became a stranger in this foreign land, separated from his family, from his home, from his people. Many years went by. I think like 40 years went by until he was ready to return. Sometimes, maybe your past, maybe something you've done in the past, you may think like, man, how can I come back after I've done this? How can God love me after I've been so bad? Sometimes we feel abandoned, we feel isolated because of the things we may have done. And we feel separated from God. Moses might have felt that way after killing this Egyptian and then running away. I mean, could you imagine if you did something and you ran away? I remember when I was a junior in high school, and my mother found my report card that I had hid away. And when she seen that I had 4 F's and 2 D's, and she called me up, and I answered the house. We never had cell phones, okay? So she called me up on the house phone. She said, you wait till we get home. I grabbed as much clothes as I could, and I ran away. I ran away from home. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to get lickings, man. I better dig out now. And I ran away from home, and I was miserable. And I think maybe Moses might have felt like that. You ran away. I was like, shoot. My brother came trying to talk to me. I just did not listen. Man, if you feel like your past is putting some distance in between you and God, go back. Repent. Revelation 2:5. Jesus says this to the church, I believe it at Ephesus, or where the church at Ephesus. He says, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. John was writing to the church at Ephesus. And here Jesus tells the church to return what you used to do at first, when you first fell in love with me. Man, if you remember what it was like when you said, yes, Jesus, I love you, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and you just want to do everything, everywhere to serve the Lord. You had that zeal, that excitement. Nothing could stop you. You hit the ground running. And since then, you've kind of slowed down, not as excited. I feel sometimes I feel like that. I'm not where I used to be, but yet I'm not where I'm really, really way off. I keep myself at a moderate pace so that I don't fry and burn out. I do what I can when I can, and I still love the Lord more than ever. I still love to serve Him. And, you know, sometimes our first steps of our Christian life, we may have had enthusiasm without knowledge. But now, do we have knowledge without the enthusiasm? How many of you, when you're singing, man, you just want to bust out of your shell and start dancing and start singing and start clapping your hands, stomping your feet? I mean, I love to do that, but sometimes if I do that here in front of all of you, I might just take your focus off the Lord and you might be looking at this guy, he's crazy. But, you know, in the morning when nobody's here, man, I think the worship team, I just might throw them off because I'm standing up here when they're singing and I'm dancing because I'm having a blast. I'm enthusiastic about serving the Lord. Maybe that's why the Lord wakes me up early, because I just love it. I enjoy it. And here, John tells us, remember what it was like when you first fell in love with the Lord. Come back to that. Sometimes you're like, well, how are we going to do that? Man, for one thing, keep reading your Bible and keep fellowshipping with fellow believers. And if you feel you are distant from God, number one, remember God's promise. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, this same God back then is the same God we serve today. See, at the time of Moses' death, he may have been old, like 120. Can you imagine 120 years old? Imagine what his body must have felt like. I mean, I'm barely 55, and sometimes my body doesn't want to move. I mean, you ever play, like, basketball or volleyball, and you see the ball coming, and the ball lands, like, my mind wanted to, but my body never moved, right? And it's like, yeah. And he lacked the strength to lead the nation into war. And not only that, but if you recall Moses' story, when God said, go speak to the rock. How many of you talk to rocks? Huh? Oh, yeah, James. James, he works for Puna Rock, so maybe he talked to the rocks now. But Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. So he couldn't go into the promised land anyway, even if he asked again. So he was passing the baton to Joshua. And he said, be strong and courageous. No, be scared. And said, the Lord, he will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, even David gave that promise to his son Solomon. And I believe he gives us that promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God that we serve. This promise, it was made to us, especially those who are suffering affliction. We need to trust that what God's word says is true. Amen? How many of you believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you? I hope everybody's hand go up. And if your hand didn't go up, God will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. Amen? Now, if you've been following Christ for years, you may have come to a point in time that, wow, I feel so distant from God. Maybe you felt he hasn't answered your prayers in a while the way you wanted him to. How many of you like, I want God to answer the prayers that I want to pray? Maybe you're facing a giant trial and God did not like take you out of here and put you on the other end of it. So you feel like, wow, he's not listening. He's not near me. He's not around. Some of you have been serving God for a while and you guys feel distant. And sometimes that happens and we call that like desert times. We feel like, oh man, I'm in the desert. It's hot, it's dry, and I feel nothing. Yeah, and sometimes we go through that. And during those times, we just got to trust God, trust his word. When we're in a desert time and we feel distant from God, we just got to persevere and keep in his word day after day after day. When this happens, we go back to the Bible and all of its promises that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes, number two, God doesn't leave us, but we drift from him. 1 Samuel 28:6. And we're talking about King Saul here. He asked the Lord, what should he do? There was armies coming against him. He was in a panic. He said, what should I do? But the Lord refused to answer him, either by dreams or by sacred lots or by the prophets. See, Saul, King Saul, may have not intentionally strayed or drifted from the Lord. And, you know, I don't think none of us intentionally walks away from the Lord. I don't think we do. Except for maybe Jonah. Yeah? Lord said, go here. He went there. How many of you did that? I did that. The Lord said, go there. No, not now. I went that way. It's not a good place to be. King Saul, as he was king, he made excuses for his mistakes. He blamed others instead of taking responsibility. And I believe when he did those things, he took a step away from God. He blamed. He didn't own up. He took another step away from God. He did something that he was commanded not to do. He took another step away from God. You know, if you look at King Saul and King David, I think King David did far worse things. He committed adultery. He committed murder. And he lied about it. But the difference is David would say, you know what? I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And he repented. So instead of taking a step farther, I think it drew him closer to God. You know, if you read Job 2:8 to 10, Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. If you don't know the story of Job, and it's not Job, okay? It's Job. Yeah, I have a job. No, it's Job. Job, he had a lot of stuff. He had flocks and herds and children and houses. And one day, Satan stood before God and said, well, yeah, he serves you because he got all this stuff. Take away all that and he will turn. So Satan took away his children, took away his herds and his flocks, and the only thing he couldn't do was take his life. And then Job started to get boils all over his skin. So he was scraping all that boils. It must have been nasty. And even his wife, his very own wife, told him, wow, you're still trying to be, you know, keep your integrity. And his wife said, curse God and die. And I'm thinking like, no, I wouldn't do that. And it's like, oh, I could imagine if my wife was like that, I wouldn't be here now. She go, what? What they did to you? What did they say to you? Let us go someplace else. But my wife supports me. She prays for me. She encourages me. She tells me when I'm bad. She may tell you when I'm bad too. Yeah, does she? No worry, I'm not going to screw you. And she's not here. She's in the nursery. That's why I told my wife, you know, honey, do what you're called to do. I don't require you to sit next to me every service and be there, but do what God wants you to do. That way, when you're not in here, I can talk about you. And I know you guys going to tell her, but my wife is just the most absolutely best, wonderful person that I could have married. But yeah, could you imagine his wife saying that? Curse God and die. It's like, wow. She could have encouraged him. I mean, just because we suffer and face adversity, and God may say to your prayers, not now, it doesn't mean that he has abandoned you. It actually means he loves you. Because how many of you prayed for $1 million before? Sorry. Maybe $1 billion. Then your hand will go up, right? Yeah. And if you had $1 billion, would you even be here? Probably not. Because you probably buy your own island someplace where nobody has to bother you. Yeah. And so the thing is, you know, just because we feel or we stop, we drift, you know, just because, like number three, suffering, just because we suffer doesn't mean God has abandoned you. Sometimes when we suffer, oh, it feels like the end of the world. It feels like, when is this going to end? You know, when I have stuff in my life, trials, and you know, the enemy, he comes at me and he attacks me, and sometimes I'm like, oh man, how am I gonna get through this? And it feels like an eternity. You know, when someone steps out of ministry and they say, you know what, I'm called to another church, oh, it breaks my heart. But if they got called to another church by God, who am I to stop them? And of course it hurts. Then I go through this, like, okay, who am I going to find to help fill that hole? And God always fills that space. And God always told me, what I need is right here in this church. And if I open my eyes and I look hard enough, yes, everything we need, every ministry need is right here in this church. And maybe you don't know it yet, but it's you. How's that? Maybe not, huh? You're thinking, no. And if I don't see you next week, then I know you. Don't be afraid. Job was suffering. I mean, you could imagine you losing your children, losing all your herds, your flocks, and almost everything that you own. Yet, Job maintained his integrity. How is that? We get one flat tire, we're cursing God already. Or better yet, you know when the fish comes off the hook halfway up the cliff? Ho! Oh, right? You know what I mean. We feel like, wow, God, you abandoned me. That's not true. So understand that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And God is God. He will always be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we feel like distant, it's usually not God that went and moved to Las Vegas. I'm sorry, God is still here. It's maybe we just drifted away. And when we suffer, we got to understand that just because we suffer, God hasn't abandoned us. And you know one thing I learned about suffering? Suffering really creates character. Suffering really reveals character. Because when we got everything, and everything is good, when all of our needs are met, we're good. But when we suffer, wow, our true character is revealed and our true character is developed. So number four, how do we prevent from straying? Well, I was going to go on Amazon and buy 150 shock collars to put on you. But I thought that's really unrealistic. Right? You ever got shocked and look, oh, better not go there. You know, we put them on our pets. And if you get that for your pets, we have one, okay. Try put it on and try go past that line. Really, you're going to get zapped. And I thought, wow, we could put shock collars and put that electric barrier on places we shouldn't be or things we shouldn't do and get shocked, but that's unrealistic. But how do we prevent from straying? You know, Mark 6:7, he called the 12 to him and he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. You know, God, if had 12 guys and you sent the 12 guys each to one district, you'd cover a lot more ground a lot faster. But now he put them in pairs and they could only go to six places because they were in pairs. But in the pairs, there was accountability. You know, so they were kept accountable by each other. You know, we could do things on our own. But if we went the wrong way or down the wrong path, there would be nobody to pull our ear and say, hey, you're going the wrong way. You know, we go fishing. And sometimes we follow people. I was following AJ once. We was going South Point. Instead of going to the fishing spot where we normally go, he was going to the boat ramp. Which we don't have a boat. We're going fishing from land. And so I followed him. It's like, okay. And then the guys behind me is like, wait a minute, we're going the wrong way. I mean, if AJ went by himself, he would have gone to the boat ramp with no boat. That would have been, what am I going to do over here? I have no boat. I'm at the boat ramp. There's no boat. Why am I here? But we go fishing together to keep each other on the right path. When I go fishing to that other place, I follow Al because Al knows the road. Because where Al goes, there is no road. Seriously, there are bumps. That's why you look at underneath my truck, it's all dented and dinged because I'm not as good a driver as Al. But I follow him because he keeps me accountable to stay on the right path. If I didn't have him, I would go fishing someplace else because the road is that bad. So the disciples were sent out in pairs so that they could keep each other accountable. You know, we do devotions during the week with our fellow brothers and sisters. Why? It keeps us accountable. It keeps us on the right track. And when we go astray, man, we get that pull on the ear. You know, I guarantee you, all of you, if Pastor Aaron didn't show up on a Sunday morning, I guarantee you, we'd be calling him up. Where you stay? How come you're not here? Are you okay? You know, we do that. And our men's ministry, I mean, when guys don't show up, we're kind of like, hey, we missed you yesterday. We missed you the other day. Or you get a call. So how do we prevent from straying? Man, you get connected, not only to God, but to other people in fellowship. You just say, hey, Pastor Scott, I want to volunteer here every week so that way I gotta be here. Because you don't gotta be here, but you get to be here. Isn't that a great way that I get to be here? I get to greet people. I get to, we need a parking lot person if anybody want to direct traffic and make sure these guys park straight. But, you know, I get to be, you tell me you want to serve here every week. And if you're not here, we'll call you up, say, hey, we missed you. We're not going to condemn you for not coming. We're not going to put you down for not showing up. But we're going to encourage you, like, hey, don't worry about it. But, you know, we'll see you next week. You know, we could serve at greeting. We could serve children. You could, if you like to eat, you could cook food. Yes. But get connected and make a commitment to serve God. And then give all of us your phone number so that when you are late, we can text you and send you a gentle reminder. Yeah, we on Thursday mornings, I do devotions with some guys. And there's this one guy, great friend of mine. And if somebody is 5 minutes late, he is texting him, where you are? Where are you? And it is so funny because when he's late, everybody texts him back, where are you? And we have a good time, but we're accountable. And I think staying accountable over the last 18 years serving God has kept me, you know, from, I stray, but I don't stray so far as that I am no longer here in the church, no longer connected. I mean, I stray once in a while, and my wife gives me a slap to send me back in line. But I never stray far where I'm, like, so far that I think Saul, he went so far from God that even if God spoke, he wouldn't listen, he wouldn't hear. I've strayed, but not to the point where I cannot hear God anymore. So prevent from straying. You know, we don't want to put shock collars on you, right? Mumbai, we get probably abuse of a family household member. Scott, yeah, you're going to have to come visit me in jail. Prison ministry. You know, when you're driving on the road, what do you think the guardrails are for? They just get in the way. They smashed my car every time that I used to be drunk and driving. And I always thought they were a pain in the butt. But when you think their purpose is to prevent you from going far off. You know, I think I see every guardrail is in the wrong place and every time they're smashed. But every guardrail is in the right place. And if they weren't there, somebody would be in the bushes down the cliff and stuff like that. And guardrails. So in your life, put up some guardrails. Okay, I won't go past this boundary. I won't go past that boundary. It'll help you from straying into places where you don't want to go. I think we need to intentionally do those things. Amen? Amen. All right, you can put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Hey, we had a great time this morning in leadership class. If you still want to join, we're still on the first lesson, so you can come. We had like 14 people there this morning, and I tell you what, those 14 people are going to be equipped to do ministry. If you want to join us next week, just show up at 8 o'clock or 7:55, better yet, and we're going to have a really good time learning about the Lord. Amen? Right. Would you stand, join us? We get to sing with reckless abandon. Raise your hands, clap your hands, stomp your feet, dance in the aisles if you got to. But let's show God how much we love Him and how excited we are to be here. Amen?
Amen.
Take it away, worship team.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.